Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim, Tes Zion. We are in the Mishnah on Tes Vav Amud Beis, continuing here in the second paragraph of the Masechta, and we are doing a little bit of contrasting between a Shvur and a Neder. Okay, you're going to hear me say this a little bit later on this morning, very clearly, because the Ron's going to say it really clearly, and to make a distinction between a Shvur and a Neder. In the Pesukim and the Torah, Shvur and Neder are lumped together, right? The very beginning of the the Masechta. So I quoted the Pesukim and Parshas Matos. And let's do it again. The pasuk says, "This is Perek Lamin, pasuk Beis, pasuk Gimel, Veidaber Moshe Rosh Hashem, Atzos of Nei Yisrael Lemor, Zeh Davar Asher Tziva Hashem." So, an introduction to a new mitzvah. In this case, it's an Isser, but Ish Ki Yidur Neder La Hashem, O Yishav Hashvua, Lesser Isser Al Nafsho Lo Yechel Devaro Kechol Yosei Mipiv Yaseh. So the Torah here introduces us to two different concepts. One's being a neder and the other one's being a shvua. Now they're very similar to one another in that what you're doing now is that you're going to create an isser by articulating. Good. So this is now 2.5 weeks into this discussion. We're all familiar and we're also familiar, but here today we're going to really crystallize it. We're also familiar with the basic distinction between a neder and a shvua. Meaning if they're effectively the same thing, I'm creating isser. So what's the difference between neder and a shvua? Answer. So when it comes to a neder, so what we're doing is that we're prohibiting an object. Right, that item over there is going to be usher to me, as opposed to a shvua, where the shvua is I'm prohibiting myself. In other words, I'm not going to do this. Another way to articulate this distinction is that basically by neder, it's going on an object, and by shvua, it's going on an action. Object versus action. Day one, we already made this point, but today's daf is really the daf in Adarim where all this is going to get crystallized, and you're going to see practical differences between neder and shvua. Whether it's going on the Chavtza, that's a Neder, or whether it's going on a Gavra, that's a Shvua. So the first Mishnah, we're going to be doing a series of Mishnahs today. First Mishnah we're covering today is going to be very detail-oriented. First two Mishnahs, in terms of language. Shvua she'eni yashen, she'eni medabe, she'eni mahale chaser. So a person makes a Shvua that says, eni yashen, I'm not going to sleep. Or eino medaber, I'm not going to speak. Or eino mahalech, or I'm not going to walk. So in all those cases, you create an iser, right? In all of them, by the way, you'll notice, and the Ron picks up on this as well. There's a yud, meaning previously when we're talking about nedarim shani, but over here she'ini, right? I'm not going to, meaning it's an action. I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to walk. So what he's done now is he's bound himself with a shvua, okay, and therefore it's going to be prohibited. So the Mishnah, perfect question. So the Mishnah over here is not clear in terms of duration and how long he's going to do so. We have already seen the Gemara say a number of times that if he made a shvua that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, that's what's called the shvua shav. He's going to get malchus, and the shvua has no chalos, no effectiveness whatsoever. So that we already covered earlier. So our Mishnah over here isn't clear, but the truth of the matter is, The main point of the Mishnah is just simply that it is a shvua, meaning it falls under the category of a shvua. It can work as a shvua simply because shvua is going in an action, and he's making a shvua regarding an action. Good. So, however, karban lo ochalach, har karban she'ochalach, lo karban lo ochalach mutter. So if he structures his shvua in any one of the above three statements, where he says karban lo ochalach, now I know this point is a little bit confusing and it's very subtle, but let's try to hammer this point. And that is that over here he's attempting to make a shvua. Now already we know because we're 2.5 weeks into this. In other words, if he compares something to a karban, so that's a neder, and that's called hatfasa, and it works. So, but over here, if instead of trying to make a neder, he's trying to make a shvua, and he uses the word karban as a shvua, it simply doesn't work. The Ron explains. The Ran says that when you are trying to make a shvua using the word karban, so what you're trying to say is, all right, in the bechaye karban, in the life of the karban, meaning you're trying to make a shvua and using, now what should you be using? So we already know, because we made this point a couple of times, that when you're trying to effectively make a shvua, so what you should be doing is saying Shem Hashem. That's what you should be doing. But meanwhile, over here, you're not saying Shem Hashem, but rather what you're doing is you're saying it b'shem karban. Now it's a holy item, but it's not Hashem. So therefore it doesn't work as a shua. So that's why in all these cases, karban lo ochalach, ha karban she'ochalach, or lo karban lo ochalach mutter. In all these cases, it's ineffective because you're trying to make a shua. You're not effecting it using Shem Hashem. You're effecting it using a karban. It doesn't work that way. Okay? And again, notable difference than that of a neder. When it comes to a neder, So neder can only be affected. Neder can be affected through the comparison to a carbon, otherwise known as atfasa, which we already discussed numerous times. Mani mastisim, we start with the Gemara. We're in Tetzayin Amud Aleph, top of the Amud. So mani mastisim, so Rebbe Meir.
Why does it reiterate the law again?
Yeah, in other words, it's a good question. In fact, the Gemara is going to touch on it. So mani mastisim, Rebbe Meir. So the E Rebbe Yehuda, lo shanilei carbon, lo shanilei ha carbon. So going back to what we learned on Yud Gimel, just a short couple days ago. So the according to Rabbi Yehuda, so there is a distinction to be made between having a prefix, not having a prefix. Sorry, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no distinction between having a prefix and not having a prefix. And our Mishnah says that there is a difference to be made. So so our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. So fine. So the Gemara says Emasefa, but the Gemara says, but I'll tell you what, go on to the next part of our Mishnah. La karban la ochalach motor. The Gemara says, okay, but we also have a Mishnah, and we already saw this Mishnah. L'karban lo ochalach Rebbe Meir oser. So if a person says, L'karban lo ochalach, so Rebbe Meir says, you've effectively made a neder. V'amar Rebbe Abba nasik omer. And why? Because what you're saying is, L'karban yehei, l'fichach lo ochalach. When you say L'karban, what you mean is, this food, in other words, again, you're by your friend and he's asking you to eat and you're now pronouncing a neder. Lik karban, yehei. This food to me should be like a karban, therefore, lo ochalach, I'm not eating it. Good. This Mishnah of Rabbi Meir in the commentary of Rabbi Abba, so Baruch Hashem, we've seen this already numerous times. The problem is that now it seems to be going against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, lik karban, lo ochalach, is nothing. It has no effect whatsoever. And if you're assuming our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir, which we just highlighted, our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir, so then that assumption that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir is going against the previous Mishnah, as understood by Rabbi Abba. So the Gemara says, Lo Kasha. So the answer, this is now, I think, the third time we're giving this answer, but it's good. The more we hear it, the more we're going to absorb. Lo Kasha, Hadamar Le Carbon, Hadamar La Carbon, or Lo Carbon. Damar Le Carbon. If damar la carbon de lo have a karma kamar, it depends on whether or not the prefix of lamed has a shva underneath or it has a patach underneath. So if it has a shva underneath, so what are you saying? Lik carbon. This should be like a carbon. However, if it has a patach underneath, it's understood la carbon with a patach. La carbon is a contraction of low carbon. It's not going to be a carbon. And that means to say, therefore, it's to be understood as it's not going to be a carbon, and therefore, it has no validity to it whatsoever. It is simply not going to be a neder, or in this case, a shvua. Okay, shvua lo ochalach. We're in the Mishnah Tezayin Amud Aleph. Shvua lo ochalach. Hashvua shochalach. Lo shvua lo ochalach. Aser. Okay, so here we go now with a series of examples of shvuos. Again, the Mishnah over here is transitioning. These Mishnayos of today are transitioning from Nedarim, which we've been discussing up until now, and the construction of a Shvua. So if I say Shvua lo ochalach, or rather HaShvua sha'ochalach, alternatively lo Shvua lo ochalach, in all these cases, you've now created Isser. Okay. What I want to show you, so take a look at the Ran over here. Tetzayin Amud Aleph, the Ran of the Mishnah, but let's skip a little bit into this Ran. Vinira Be'inai. So the Ran, well, no, let's not skip. Let's go back. Let's go back to the beginning of the Ran in the Mishnah. Right? It's right in the middle of the Amud. The Ran writes, Mishum de Shvua lo ochalach, mashma b'shvua lo ochalach. When you say Shvua lo ochalach, what the implication is that via Shvua, I'm not eating from you. V'ashvua sho ochalach, achi mashma delek lefrusha lishon de chai shvua kamar, kidamrina chai karban de lo mishtai inashachi. Okay. Ula shvua lo ochalach nami afila balame p'tucha asr. Now, if I say, Lashvua lo ochalach, so that's also going to be aser as well, even with a patach. Yafagav de lamed psucha lo mashma. Now it's true, the Ran says that with a lamed psucha, in other words, a patach under the lamed, would indicate I'm not going to. Masisim Rabbi Meir he delays le mechal lavatashamayhein afilo hachi b'shvua aser. Ah, and also we know that according to Rabbi Meir, we don't do implications, right? In other words, when I say it's not a shvua. So Rabbi Meir does not work the implication. which means that when I say lashvur lo ochalach, the implication would be that it's not a shvur that which I don't eat from you, meaning which I do eat from you is in fact a shvur. That would be michlal lavatashomehen. Right, fine, good. So that's michlal lavatashomehen. We also learned earlier that according to Rav Meir, he doesn't do that. Right, that takes us all the way back to the discussion regarding a Tanai Kafel and whether or not you need to say both the negative and the positive. Rav Meir says that you always do, and Rav Yehuda says no, you can make implication. You can go from the negative to the positive, from the positive to the negative. Good. So this is a machlokas. Now our Mishnahs are going like Rabbi Meir, and so what the Ran over here is formulating is what we call a question, and that is that here in our Mishnah, so when we say lashvua lo ochalach, so it is effective. In other words, but the only way it's going to be effective is only via implication. And if our Mishnah is going like Rameir doesn't subscribe to implication. So what the Ran is now bothered by is, how is all that working? And what the Ran answers is the following. Follow over here, Vinir Beinai. So you have to go to the Gemara in Shavuos. The Gemara in Shavuos, he quotes, Daf Lamed Vav says the following. Yes, it's true that according to Rav Meir, he does not do implication. In order to make a status to something, to give something status, so you either have to say it in the positive or in the negative. Sorry, you have to say it both, positive and negative. So, and you can't go from one to the other. That's when it comes to monetary law. That's when it comes to mamonos. Alternatively, Isser that has with it mamonos. Aval b'Isser greida Islay. But if we're just talking about Isser by itself, so then Rav Meir will allow for implication. Unidarim Isser dis be mamonos ninu mishum delo mishkacha behu ala chefza da'in achal al davar she'in bo mamish. Aval shvuz enu ala Isser greida shu chal begufo. And here's what we have, what's called a chiddush, a novel idea for today, and that is that when it comes to neder is creating an isser, but it always has a monetary aspect to it. How so? So the Ran says, I'll tell you how so. Because a neder is going on an object. That object is prohibited to me. Okay, so in other words, that object once upon a time had value to me, now that object has no value to me. It's an isser with a monetary with a monetary side to it. On the other hand, when it comes to shvua, which is principally going in actions, so shvua does not have an isser, shvua does not have a monetary component to it. When a person articulates a shvua, so he's just simply saying that I'm not going to engage in this, I'm not going to do this. Now there could down the road have monetary effect to it. Right, especially if you consider, right, I'm not eating by you. Excuse me. And he says a vayishvua. Okay, so now he's gonna have to pay for lunch. It's true that it will down the road have monetary effect, but directly shvua is going principally on him and his actions, and therefore it's just isser and not mammon. And with that, the Ran says, good. So when we have Rav Meir saying that we don't do implication, that's only when it comes to monetary aspects, like nedarim. But when it comes to just Isser, so then Rabbi Meir will make the jump from a lav to a hain and from a hain to a lav. Okay. That's the Ran. Now, if you were to push me, right, and ask me, good, I understand the distinction. I don't understand why. Meaning, why should there be a difference between when it comes to just Isser versus when it comes to mammon? Meaning, if Rabbi Meir does not allow for implication, so why if we're in the arena of money? No, no implication. But when it comes to the arena of just Isser, oh, then we are going to make the implication. What's the difference between the two? Why does that make a distinction? Okay, not sure. But anyway, that's the Ran, and that's what's called the Chiddush. Okay, so we are in the Gemara Michlal. So we start with the Gemara. We start with the Gemara in Tetzayin Amud Aleph after the Mishnah. So Michlal Hashvur Shocholach Delo Achina Mashma. Okay, so. Of the examples that were given in our Mishnah, where the person wants to articulate a shvua basically saying, I'm not eating by you. So I'm sure you noticed that one of the examples that's given is a little bit strange. Meaning, shvua lo ochalach, I understand is effective shvua because, here, let's translate. I'm not eating from you. So you know what that means? It means I'm not eating from you. Okay, that one's easy. But when you go to the second case of the Mishnah, hashvua sho'ochalach, a shvua that I'm eating by you. Oh, now you made a shvua that I'm not eating from you. Okay, now you talk about really, right, difficulty in terms of translation. right? The shvua of I'm eating from you is now going to be interpreted to mean I'm not eating from you. Okay? So that's exactly the Gemara's question. So the Gemara wants to know, how did we get from shvua she'ochalach to now under the interpretation of I'm not eating from you? So, mechlal ha'shvua she'ochalach to lochinam ha'shma reminu. And the Gemara says, and look, let's quote now the beginning of Masechta Shavuos. And that Shavuos Shtayim Shein Arba, Sha'ochel Shalo Ochel, Sha'achalti Shalo Achalti. So mid the Kamar, Shalo Ochel, Sha'achalti. Sorry, I lost my spot. Mid the Kamar, Vishalo Ochel, and then Sha'achalti, Vishalo Achalti, Mechlal, to Sha'ochel Lachad, Achina Mashma. So it's funny, I'm not even really sure why our Gemara had to quote the Mishnah Shavuos. I guess it's because the Mishnah Shavuos is just making the contrast so clear. But anyway, even without the Mishnah Shavuos, we can ask the question as simply as possible. When you say Shavuos she'ochalach, how in the world is that to be interpreted as I'm not eating from you? Okay? And the Mishnah Shavuos is also just hammering the point that there's a clear distinction to be made between ochel and lo ochel. Lo ochel to be understood as I'm not eating from you. And ochel, of course, understood to be I'm eating from you. Okay. No.
That's not one of the two types.
No, Mishnah is just describing there are other types of shvuos, but there in that opening Mishnah, shvuos is just simply describing what we're talking about.
What is he referring to, the two types of oaths?
In other words, it can go both on something you've done in the past and on something you're going to do. Okay. In other words, you can swear, I ate that loaf of bread. And then it turns out that you didn't, and alternatively, I'm going to swear that I'm going to eat that loaf of bread. It can go either in the past or in the future. So Amar Abayi she'ochel shtei loshonos mashma. So Abayi says like this. Okay. So everyone now is we're gonna have to be not just literalists, but we're gonna have to be human here for just a moment. Okay. It's not easy to be human, and in human interactions with one another. So you have to understand that even though you say something, you have to look at the contextual clues in terms of interpreting people. And Abayi says exactly. So. Amar Abayi she'ochel shtei loshonos mashma. Abayi says that, look, the word she'ochel, I'm eating from you, could be understood based on contextual clues, and it can actually go in two different ways. So let's say, for example, Hay misavrim bo lecho v'amar achilna achilna. So let's say the following. Alan invites me over, and he says, come eat by me. And I say, of course I'm going to eat by you. And then his second time he asks me, and I say, of course I'm going to eat by you. And then by the third time, just to give him assurances, I say, shvua she'ochel, I swear I'm going to eat by you. Okay, good. So over there, because I now agree twice to eat by him, although, why haven't I gone already? it's a good question. Fine. But in other words, but there, now that I'm reinforcing my commitment to eat by him by saying shvur she'ochel, so okay, so over there, dachinu mashma. So over there, the understanding is, I'm going to eat by you. However, Amr lo achilna lo achilna. My example's terrible because I can't imagine me saying no. But however, Amr lo achilna lo achilna. He asked me to eat by him, I say no. He asked me to eat by him, I say no a second time. The Amr shvua she'ochel. And then finally, I've had it. And I said shvua she'ochel. Now I do say the word shvua she'ochel. But in other words, contextually now, you understand after having said no twice. And now I'm making a shvua. And I understand I'm saying the word she'ochel. But really what I'm saying is I'm making an oath about the food. Meaning, and you have to now connect it to what I've said previously, which is I've said no twice already. So de lo achilna kamar, so there it's lo achilna. So Abai's answer is that shvua she'ochel could really go in two different directions. It really just depends on the contextual clues and what precipitated this pronouncement.
Okay. Why wouldn't it be
neither then? Well, because the shvua is on what I'm either going to do or not going to do. Not on the food itself. No, it's going on the action. It's going on the action of either eating or not eating. Now, Rav Ashi Amar, so good. So that's Abai's answer. And so, and Rav Ashi says, no, let's not do that. Meaning the word ochel, regardless of whatever contextual clues there are, the word ochel means to eat, and don't tell me otherwise. Okay, but then of course the struggle is our Mishnah. So Rav Ashi will say that here's what you're going to do with our Mishnah. And that is she'ochel deshua she'i ochel kamar. No. So in our Mishnah, when you see the word ochel, so we're going to edit it. We're going to edit it to be not the word ochel, but rather e'ochel. Oh, okay, good. Good. I'm not going to eat. Okay, so the Gemara says, that's lovely. Im kem pshito my lamemra. Good. Right. So now you're occupying precious real estate of the Mishnah to tell me that when you say Iochel, that amounts to a shvur that I'm not going to eat by you. Okay, that's precious real estate. And why are you now giving me an example that I would have known already? So the Gemara tries to give a hava mina why I would have thought otherwise. Ma detema, make him lishna hidit galei.
How would we know she Iochel means no otherwise without this?
I mean, there's certain basic language that the Gemara assumes people know. So the Gemara says, Ma detema, make him lishna hidit galei kamash malan. So the Gemara says, okay, it could very well be that maybe he was stumbling in his language, and maybe even though he said the word Iochel, maybe he didn't mean it. Okay, the hava mina. Okay. Now, what do we have? We have a Mishnah that tells us the example of, one of the examples of a valid Shvur, which I'm not going to be eating by you. So one of the examples in the Mishnah is Shvur She'ochel. Oh. And of course, the problem is that how does Shvur She'ochel result in me making a Shvur that I'm not eating by you? We have two approaches right now in our Gemara, Abai and Ravashi. Abai's answer is contextual clues. Sometimes She'ochel Achkemin, I'm not eating by you. You just have to look at the clues in the context. And Ravashi says, no, I'm not interested in hearing that. Ravashi says, it's not clues in context. You just have to edit our Mishnah. The word Ochel in our Mishnah is to be edited to be read as E-Ochel. Okay. So now, the back and forth. So Ravashi, Abai lo amar tam ke Ravashi delo ketani E-Ochel. So Abai's dismissal of Ravashi is very simple. I'm not ready to edit the Mishnah. Let's not do that. Now Ravashi, nade min tam da Abai. Now Ravashi moves away from Abaye. Right, nade min hatam da abaye. Unusual language in the Gemara. You're not going to see this kind of language in other mesechtos, right? Because, as we pointed out already a couple of times, Nedarim is just a little bit different. The text of Nedarim is a little bit different. So anyway, Ravashi nade min tam da abaye. He moves away from abaye. Kasav shelo v'chol nami machshma shtei lashanos. The what Ravashi will tell Abaye is the following. You see what you did. In other words, you said that with contextual clues, a yes can mean a no. Okay? It's such a good response. So Ravashi says to Abaye, well, if you're ready to do that from a yes being a no, so can't you do the same thing with contextual clues? Can't a no become a yes? Okay. So Shelo Achal Nami Mashma Shelo Shonos. So Hayim Asavim Balachal V'Amar Lo Achal Lo Achal V'Amar Nami Shvua. Bein she'ochel, bein she'lo ochel, hadein achel mashma, da'amar. Ve'ikal l'tzurz, enam l'shna shuva she'lo ochel, shuva de'lo achel l'kamar. So, okay, and basically, in other words, just like your yes could be a no based on the fact that you refused twice, so your no could also become a yes if, in fact, you agreed already twice. It just, right, it depends on what precipitated it, right? And so what Ravashi is saying to Abai is that basically, if you're ready to change interpretation and meanings based on contextual clues, so let's be consistent. Let's go in both directions. And you'll notice, of course, that the Mishnah didn't do that. So, Ella, Tana Paska, Ochel Dachin Amashma, Shalochel Ochel Mashma. And Ravashi just finishes his point. And it's clear now from the Mishnah. Do you know why the Mishnah didn't do that? Because no means no. I love saying this as a sentence today. No means no. No means no, and yes means yes. And don't tell me otherwise. Okay, fine. That kind of takes us now to the end of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, and with the Amud Bey. So again, now what we're highlighting in today's daf are a number of Mishnayos that highlights a shvua as opposed to a neder. And here we go now with really fundamental distinctions between shvua and neder. We've heard this before, but this is it. This is the Mishnah that really articulates the difference. So zechomer b'shvus mi medarim v'chomer medarim mi b'shvus. Now let's compare and contrast. Mishnayos love doing this, and of course, meaning, but because what we're really going to do is that we're going to look at two concepts which are similar to one another, and not only that, as we point out in the beginning of today's daf, it's in the same pasuk. So these concepts are similar to one another, but yet they're slightly different, and so what our Mishnah is going to be doing is highlighting the difference. Stringencies that exist by Shvua than that over Neder, and vice versa. So, Ketzad. So our Mishnah says, I'll give an example. Amar konim sukkah shani osa, lulav shani notel, tefillin shani meniach, Benedarim aser, b'shvuos muter, shenishman lavor la mitzvos. So let's say like this. I make a neder about this particular sukkah. I make a neder about this particular lulav. I make a neder about tefillin. I'm not wearing that tefillin. So now, is that neder going to be chal? Yes, neder is going to be chal. Wait 1 second. You have a mitzvah to put on tefillin. That's true, but not that tefillin. I have a mitzvah to wear tefillin. I understand I prefer my tefillin over others, but there are other tefillin out there in the world. Same thing with sukkah. Same thing with lulav. Good. So you can have a chalos neder on a dvar mitzvah. However, when it comes to a shvua, what are you going to say? I'm making a shvua that I'm not going to put on tefillin. You are bound by the Torah. Hashem told us to put on tefillin. And so you can't make a shvua otherwise. And if you try to, it simply won't take effect. So mutar she'en nishban lavor la mitzvah. So good. So over here, a very basic distinction now between shvua and neder. And again, this is where the Ran really earns his keep in terms of helping us understand that the real difference between shvua and neder is whether it's going on the object or going on the person. So now you understand. So when you're making a neder on an object, so okay. In other words, you're not negating any mitzvah. In other words, I believe in the mitzvah of sukkah. I'm going to comply with the mitzvah of sukkah. It just happens to be not that sukkah. Okay, that's fine. And in other words, then that will take effect. But for me to try to make a statement of, I'm not going to be singing sukkah over sukkahs. No, you can't do that. In other words, the Torah says you must be singing a sukkah. And so therefore, it's not going to land. Okay, so we're on the Amud Beis then. The Gemara's question over here is actually really simple. But it is subtle, but it's very simple. And that is, you look back at our Mishnah, Zeh Chomer B'Shvus Minadarim. Now, what does the word Chomer mean? Chomer means that I'm comparing and contrasting Shvus and Nadarim, and by Shvua, it's going to be a couple of degrees more stringent. Oh. So in other words, the opening of our Mishnah was talking about degrees. But then, the Mishnah's example of mitzvahs, that's not degrees. In other words, either the shvua, let's start with neder. The neder by a mitzvah takes effect, and the shvua by a mitzvah doesn't take an effect. That's much more than degrees. That's binary. So really what we're looking to do is just trying to understand the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, Zechomer, here I'm going to show you how it is off by a couple of degrees. And then the example is, here it takes effect and here it doesn't take effect. Okay, that seems to be inconsistent. So chomer mechlal de nederhu v'hamutar ketani. Okay, the Gemara articulates the question really succinctly, but when you think about it, it's such a strong question. So the Gemara says asefa de idach baba ketani. So the Gemara says you're right. Your point is outstanding. Meaning the example in our Mishnah is not a chumrah. The example in our Mishnah is either it takes effect or it doesn't take effect. So then go back to the beginning of the Mishnah when the Mishnah says chomer. So what's chomer going on? Chomer is going on a different section altogether. Okay, and it is a little bit strange then, because then what's happening in our Mishnah is that there isn't agreement between the header and the example that's given. Okay, but there are other examples where there are chumras. So let's say, for example, Shvua she'eni yashen, she'eni medab, she'eni mahal chaser. So zeh chomer b'shvus minadarim. Okay, good. So let's say, for example, I make a shvua, I'm not going to sleep. Okay, does the shvua take effect? Yes. Now, let's say I were to do the same thing regarding a neder. A neder, I'm not going to sleep. So again, neder goes on objects. It doesn't go on actions. So does the neder take effect? So listen carefully, right? The Ron spells this out so clearly. So does it take effect? No and yes. Okay. And I'm not interested in confusing you. That's not my, obviously, the right. My number one goal every day is to try to provide as clear a picture of the Gemara as I can. So, but when you make a neder, I'm not going to sleep. So does it take effect? No and yes. So let's start with the no. No, because it's not an object. It's an action. Yes, midrabanan. So remembering yesterday's daf, what we said is that if I make a neder, then I'm not going to sleep. So midrabanan, the neder is chal. Right? Admittedly, by the way, that's not everyone's understanding of the Mishnah. That was Ravina's understanding of the Mishnah in yesterday's daf. But as Ron points out, but that's how we paskin. Right? When a person makes a neder and an action, so minotaur, it's not going to be chal, but midrabanan, it will be chal. And again, my assumption was, I said it yesterday, I'll say it again today. My assumption is that the general masses, the population, does not understand these subtle differences between neder and shvua, and you make a pronouncement of a neder and an action, and if the goes to Rav and the Rav says to him, you're fine, so then he's not going to understand, oh, that was a neder, and next time I do it, it's a shvua, it's different. Okay. So therefore, as a siag, as a gzeira, so what the Chachamim said is that even though you did it via neder, and even though it's not going to be chal on an action, but midrabanan it will be. But perfect. Meaning, now take that and plug it into our Mishnah of Chomer. Oh, it works out very good. Meaning now you understand, there's a Chomra. Shvua on an action, like sleeping, like walking, like talking, that's Chal Minatora. You do that by a neder, it's Chal only Midrabbanan. Very good. Chomer Minadarmi Mishuas Ketzad, Rav Kahani Masnei, Rav Kahani Masnei Amar Rav Gidol Marav. Rav Tevyume Masnei Amar Rav Gidol Amar Shmuel. Okay, two different versions of Shmuel saying it either in the name of Rav or in the name of Shmuel. So we've gone over this point numerous times. Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of both. Right? He studied under Rav, he studied under Shmuel. And the and Shmuel had a particular affinity. I'm sure Rav loved Rav Yehuda as well. But Shmuel had a particular affinity to Rav Yehuda. Anyway, so sometimes in the Gemara, when Rav Yehuda makes a statement, so which one of his Rebbeim is he quoting? So usually we're clear about it. But like here, for example, unclear. Either way. So how do I know that a shvua is not going to be chal on a mitzvah? Tamal Omar. So lo yechal dvaro, dvaro lo yechal aval mechal hu lechefte shamayim. So lo yechal dvaro is only when it's divaro. You're making a statement that is volitional, optional. It's a you. It's a you preference. However, if it's chefte shamayim, so then there's no chalos. It doesn't have any effect whatsoever. So maishnai neder, dechsiv ishkiyedor neder, lahashem lo yechal dvaro. Okay, I'm going back to those same psukim. You know, we have the same construct of pasuk when it comes to neder. So, and we could say, shvua nami, haksiv, hishavah shvua, lahashem lo yechal dvaro. Okay, so if you are darshaning this idea regarding shvua, so we should have the same thing regarding neder as well. Amar Abaye. Had Amar Hanasuka Alai. Had Amar Shvur Shlo Enem in Asuka. Okay. So Abaye says like this. So the difference is going to be, look at the Ran. I know we have basically been sitting on this point for numerous times, but as I mentioned at the beginning of today's daf, here it is. Amar Abaye. I'm reading the Ran inside. So Had Amar, sorry, the Ran that starts with the Had Amar Anasuka Alai, Had Amar Shvua Shlo Anab Misuka. Klamar. Svarahu de la Hashem Lokaya Shvua. El Achid or Neder. Now, yes, in the Pasuk it says La Hashem. But it's only going on Shvua, not by Neder. Why? Mishum de Neder bedin hu shiacho al davar mitzvah lefishu oser alat smoha nasuka shalosha neder kachu. The ein machilin etha adam davar asolo. Meaning, because what is the Neder doing? It's going on the object. That object over there is going to be prohibited to me. Okay? And so since it's going on the object, so now, if you were to feed him that object, now I know by sukkah he's not eating the sukkah, but over here, if you were to provide him that, it'd be tantamount to giving him something which is usur. Right? Remember just as far back as yesterday? Right? The husband made a neder that he's not going to be with his wife. And how can he do that? Meaning he has a shibud. So Rav Kahana's solution was that the formulation of the neder is that she will be usher to me, right? She as an object, not to objectify, but she is an object that's going to be usher to me. Now, even though he does have a sheba to her, but now the hanas tashmish is going to be usher, it would be tantamount to him eating something which is usher. Good. So that was yesterday's daf. Similarly over here. In other words, even by dvar mitzvah, right? In other words, it's actually the same discussion. Husband and wife, that's a dvar mitzvah. In other words, the mitzvah for a husband and wife to be together. So too over here. Mitzvah for a man to be in a sukkah. But in other words, via neder, all he's basically saying is that I'm not negating the mitzvah, I'm negating the sukkah. The sukkah is going to be asr to me, says the Ran. So, shaloshon neder kachu, ve'im achlan sa'adun davar asr lo. Avaloshon shvua hainu shalo eshev besukkah. But what's the shvua going on? Shvua is going on me. I'm not going to sit in the sukkah. So there, you can't do that. V'lo kol heim enelav ki atzma mimitzu sukkah. Shu mitzu vabo. Yeah, but you are instructed to send the sukkah. So your statement has to be rejected. And when we have the pasuk of La Hashem, of course it's going to be rejected because what you're trying to say is contradicting the Torah. Torah told you, you must send the sukkah. You're trying to say otherwise. No, I'm not going to send the sukkah. I bind myself by shvua that I'm not going to send the sukkah. That goes directly against the Torah. You can't do that. Okay, fine. So that's Abai's answer to how it is that a shvua can be chal. Let's do that again. How a neder can be chal on a mitzvah, and a shvua cannot be chal on a mitzvah. And according to Abaye, as understood by the Ran, it's just a basic understanding of the distinction between Shvua versus Neder. Okay. Rava really will take us not only to the end of today's daf, but into tomorrow's daf. So we'll start with Rava tomorrow in terms of his approach and his understanding. And it really takes us to a really large topic of mitzvah slav lehendos ninu. So we're going to pause at this point in time. Let's quickly recap our daf today. Okay. We did today a series of three different mishnayos, all speaking to Shvua. And the last mishnah that we did today, Shvua versus Neder. So in mishnah number one, so Shvua Shein Yashin, Shvua Shein Mahalach, right, the basic idea of the Mishnah is that a Shvua goes on in action, not speaking, not talking, and not walking. If you try to make a Shvua, and instead of saying it B'Shem Hashem, you use it B'Shem Karban, it doesn't work, it's not effective. Okay, in other words, you say, Shvua, right, B'Chai Karban, I'm making a Shvua, so that doesn't work. Similar to what we discussed just a couple days ago regarding the Sefer Torah, if you remember, right? You make a Shvua, right? Holding a Sefer Torah. But in other words, you point to not the words of the Sefer Torah, but the actual gvil, the cloth of the Sefer Torah. So that's not effective. But if you're pointing to the words of the Sefer Torah, so that's Shem Hashem. Okay. So same thing with the Karban. Karban, you're trying to make a Shvua B'Chai Karban, it simply doesn't work. Good. Next Mishnah that we learned is that Shvua, you make a Shvua that you're not going to eat by somebody, so the Shvua is going to take effect. The discussion there on the Amud Aleph of today's daf was one of the examples that was given was Shvua She'ochalach. I'm making a Shvua that I'm eating by you with the understanding now that you're not going to eat by the individual. How do we get from the statement of, I swear I'm eating by you, to the understanding of, oh, I'm not eating by you? How did that work? And so that we had two different approaches, Abaye and Rav Ashi. Abaye says contextual clues will help us interpret, and Rav Ashi says no. In other words, Rav Ashi here is more of a literalist. If you said, I'm eating by you, it's understood as I'm eating by you. What you have to do is edit the Mishnah, and the Mishnah actually meant Efshar. Good. And the Gemara goes over the back and forth why Abaye did not like Rav Ashi's answer, and vice versa. And finally, the last Mishnah that we covered today on the bottom of Tazayin Amad Aleph is Chumrah. You know, Nedarim and Shvua are similar to one another, but Shvua is more chamer than Nedarim, and Nedarim are more chamer than Shvua. And then the Mishnah highlights that when it comes to a Shvua, you can't make one on a mitzvah. When it comes to a Neder, you can make one on a mitzvah. We noted the first discussion on the Amud Beis today is that Chumrah sounds like it's degrees different from one another, but then the example of our Mishnah, that's not a degree, that is black versus white. I make a Shvua on a mitzvah, no chalos. No effectiveness. I make a neder on a mitzvah, full chalos. That's not a degree different. That's radically different. So what the Gemara explained is that, yeah, the head of our Mishnah is not going on the example of our Mishnah. The head of our Mishnah is going on a different example. Notably, I make a shvua, I'm not going to sleep. That's chal min haTorah. I make a neder, I'm not going to sleep. That's chal min haRabbanan. That's degrees. And finally, the last thing that we discussed is why in the world would a neder be chal on a mitzvah? As opposed to a shvua, which is not chal on a mitzvah, Abaye's answer, which we finished up today, is that the neder is going on the object, and the shvua is going on the person. A neder can go on the object, therefore, I'm not negating the mitzvah, I'm just negating that object. I'm making that object usher to me, and then my enjoyment of that item would be tantamount to me eating yisr. You can't feed somebody yisr. As opposed to a shvua, what I'm negating is I'm negating the mitzvah. You have no right to negate a mitzvah. Okay.
Good. Got my question.